This is episode number 273 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannard.
Welcome to Fearless Presentations. I'm your host, Doug Stannard. My goal is to help you become a fearless and confident speaker and presenter. I have a fantastic guest for you today. You guys are going to love hearing about Steve. Steve Moulter is, he is a veteran corporate spokesman and trainer. He's worked with hundreds of different kind of global brands, a lot of Fortune 100 kind of brands, companies like Cisco and Panasonic and Siemens and Fujifilms and Bayer and HP and a whole bunch of others. But he kind of prides himself as being, I think, what he calls a chief storytelling officer, which I want to find a little bit more out about as to what that is. And the reason I wanted to have him come on is because I wanted him to give you a few tips about how to really become a better storyteller and use stories as a way to really communicate more effectively, create a more persuasive presentation when you go out and present to audiences. So, Steve, welcome to Fearless Presentations.
Doug, what an honor to be on with you. Total privilege. Hello to all of your viewers, listeners, subscribers. I'm really excited about this. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. So before we get started, tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you got into kind of marketing and storytelling. And then I really want you to explain a little bit about what is a corporate story, right? And how did you really discover the power in telling, in corporate storytelling, I guess. So I know that's a lot in the very first question, but kind of give us the background first and then to kind of tell us what this corporate storytelling is.
No, actually, this is going to be pretty quick because I'm not going to dwell on the history. I came out of an acting background. So I was in theater until the time I was 30. I arrived in the corporate market. I know how boring it is to hear this, utterly and completely by accident. It was during the dot-com boom. And there was an agency in Chicago where I live, where my home is. And that particular agency was serving a number of clients at their events, their trade shows, their conferences, their sales meetings, and so forth. And they needed ringers. They needed people to go in and represent those particular companies because they realized that a lot of company speakers were not that phenomenal at telling their own stories. A lot of times you have the designers, the developers, the engineers, and you're trying to force that square peg into the round hole by saying, well, you built that software capability or you built that medical device. Now go out and talk about it. And they're saying, that's not what I do.
I'm an engineer. I am not a speaker, right?
Yeah. No, this is it. And it's a very interesting thing, isn't it, in the corporate world that we say, no, the only person that can speak on behalf of that brand or that particular product is the person who created it. Not necessarily. It's not always the best way to go. So I was brought in by accident and somebody said, hey, there's this company, Tivoli Systems. They've just been purchased by IBM. Why don't you come in and speak? And I said, I'm sorry, what? You want me to? I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. Well, here, you're an actor. Let me drop a script into your hand. You represent this brand. You're a part of them. Go out there and speak based on that script. And it made perfect sense to me and it clicked. And then about 2-3 years later, I realized I'm not an actor anymore. I am now a spokesperson for brands. And my wife said to me, well, what do you think of that? And I said, I'm surprisingly okay with it. So it really was a natural adaptation and evolution into that world. But what happened is once I reached that world, I started to recognize a few things. Number one, the way people told stories about their brands and about their products were not necessarily what the audience wanted to hear. And I started to develop my mantra very early that is with me to this day and that I always share in coachings and trainings. And my mantra has always been, don't tell them what you want to tell them. Tell them what they want to hear. Right. Tell their story first, not your story first, which is the opposite of what most speakers do. And as you know all too well, that's why most speakers get into so much trouble. They're so busy talking about themselves, their own stories, and what's important to them that they're not focused enough on the audience. And I loved that from the very beginning of what I was doing in the mid to late 1990s. Dot-com boom comes to an end. I'm still speaking, but all of a sudden starting to develop coaching, training methodologies, and that leads to a foundation of corporate storytelling for my brand. So then to answer your last question really quickly, what is a corporate story? What is corporate storytelling? It actually goes back to John Deere and Company. And you've probably told this story many, many times. But in 1895, which is long after the founder of Deere had already passed away, the organization said, all right, we're selling farm equipment. And what are we doing? We're pitching it. Here's our new tractor. Here's what it does. Here are its capabilities. Here's how much it costs. And we're seeing a decrease in purchase. We need to change the way we speak to our marketplace. So what they developed was a newsletter called The Furrow. And in The Furrow, they developed a concept of what was at that time called content marketing. And it was the idea of, instead of trying to sell you a tractor, let's just talk to you about life on the land. What does your world look like every single day? What problems do you face? What looks like a victory and a success to you? And how can we help you achieve that success? Because we think the same way you do. We communicate the same way you do. We use the same language. We live in your world. We get you. So let us partner with you to help you. Content marketing. And over the past 125 years, folks like Doug Stannard, Steve Moulter, and so many others out there, we have been the beneficiaries of this fantastic concept that evolved from content marketing into corporate storytelling, which basically just means, how do we combine the details of our topic or our brand or our subject or our product with personal human experiences that our audience can relate to and connect with and find value in and become passionate about themselves? And that's what corporate storytelling is all about.
Oh, man, that is a fantastic explanation. That is the best I've ever heard anybody kind of explain that. Fantastic. Okay, so let me make sure I'm following you, because sometimes it takes me a while to kind of catch on. So it sounds like that what we're doing first, the first step is kind of figuring out of all of the customers that we have out in the world, what are the major problems that our customers are dealing with that our products or services can solve? And then we go find a success story about somebody who solved that problem using our product or service. And then we just tell people about it. And it's basically sales 101, right? It's like, hey, my best selling tool is a success of somebody else that had a problem just like you. And I'm using that as a way to kind of show you that I can solve that same type of problem for you.
That's exactly it. I'm going to add one level to what you just said, because what you just said is 100% correct. And that one level is, when we tell customer success stories, we have to be cautious about customer success stories. They are a remarkable way to speak to an audience of one or an audience of 10,000, whoever we are in front of, and say, look at what we're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. But that creates a gap between us and our audiences, because the audience is sitting there thinking, well, good for you and good for them. But that's not my company. My company doesn't look like that. That company is 50 times the size of mine, or has a much more massive budget, or is in this sector instead of this sector. And there's a chasm every time we share a customer success story. And our job as a speaker is, how do we close that gap? How do we say, the only reason I am sharing this story with you is because this story is about you. And I want you to see what is possible for you today, if you will open your mind and open your heart to this new possibility, this new frontier, or more successful tomorrow based on our time together with one another. So anytime you tell a customer success story about a partnership, about something that you built or created or crafted in partnership or association or as a customer, you have to let the audience in front of you at that moment know, I know that company is not you, but I want you to start seeing yourselves, imagining yourself in this picture. And I'll mention one more thing to sort of put a button on that. Our number one job as a speaker is to paint a beautiful picture of success and then paint our audience into the middle of that picture so that they have no choice but to see themselves in that world. Right. And a good correlation, I've got a buddy, Michael, who's a real estate agent here in Chicago. And he always says, you want to know the best way to sell a house? You walk your customer in that door, your client in that door, and you get them to start imagining what their life would look like if they purchased this house. Where does the sofa go? Where's the TV? How about that party that we're going to do out on that back deck, right? Your kids are going to do their homework in that picture window up in the, and the moment they start imagining, ooh, that sounds good to me, you've sold that house. You're going to get an offer. You paint the beautiful picture, you paint your audience into the middle of the picture and say, wouldn't you like to live there? And the greatest brands on the planet That's exactly what they do with their marketing and their advertising messages.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny because as you're kind of mentioning that, I'm like, oh, wow, that is kind of what I train my, it's exactly what I train my consultants.
My
consultants, like for instance, you and I kind of mentioned off the air that part of my company does like big high energy team activities. And most of the time, the folks who are buying those from us, or at least in the early stages of the contract process, they have no idea what they want. They know they want something fun. They know that, but they don't know what it looks like. And so basically what I've trained my consultants to do is ask a bunch of questions, find out what is making this person nervous. What is it that is, how does the success kind of look? And then based on the information that they're receiving from that person, be able to kind of paint the picture at the end of what that success kind of looks like. And so let me see if I've got this right. So basically you're looking for a 2-hour activity where, you know, when your team walks in the room, they're, you know, they see and they're just painting the picture of what's actually, as if they're actually already experiencing that thing. And then at the end of spending, you know, 30 seconds or 45 seconds with that person, kind of telling them what the success will look like, they just kind of pause for a second and go, I mean, that's really what you're looking at, right? And they always go, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want.
You know
right?
me. You
the
understand.
Moment, yeah. The moment that they're able to do that, that's where it no longer becomes, we're not selling anything. We're helping them solve a problem that they didn't even know that they had, right? We're helping them identify what the problem is first. And then once they identify the problem, we're giving them a solution.
Right? Amen. Look, those pregame questions are so incredibly important. And I think where a lot of speakers go south is that they don't do enough pregaming. Right. They don't set up, who am I talking to? Why? Why am I doing this? Because if it's for my success, my career, to make myself look good, to pitch my company, you're never going to make that connection with your audience. Why am I in that room? What do I want to accomplish? How can I serve the people sitting in front of me at that moment? What do they need from me most right now? And how can I give that to them? The minute you do that, all of the glossophobia, and I know you talk about glossophobia, a lot of that fear, that resistance to public speaking, the mental sense of, I've been voluntold to do this. I don't want to speak, right, but I've been told you're going to go out and give the talk. A lot of that goes away once we discover how we deliver value for the people that we're going to be sitting in front of. And if we ask those pregame questions, boom, we get to that value. And a lot of that hesitation and fear trickles away because we establish the trust and the confidence that creates a great engagement.
One of the reasons why stories are really one of the major ways to reduce public speaking fear is they get us to stop focusing about ourselves. You know, it's basically the more that I'm focusing on me and how do I, am I sounding right? Am I looking right? Is this what people are looking for? And that kind of thing. The moment that we get into a story in front of a group, we're basically creating what hypnotists, they call a state. You know, it's a daydream. Yeah, you know, basically we're creating that little daydream in the mind of the person where they're actually seeing themselves there with you in that story. And of course, you're doing the same thing in your own head too, right? You're thinking about that time 2 years ago when I had this really big problem and we came up with this phenomenal solution. And as a result, we got a lot of praise for it and that kind of thing. And when we tell it in a story format, now all of a sudden the audience is going, wow, that person's really credible. Wow, that person is really poised, you know? And so basically it sounds like you're kind of doing the same thing on a corporate level, which by the way, sounds a little bit more challenging because I assume that, like, if I'm going to deliver a speech, I just have to know who's in the room and what their problems are. Whereas if you're doing this corporately for a big Fortune 100 company, that's going to take a lot more research, isn't it?
I'll be completely honest with you. It's identical. Everybody really thinks of this big difference. So there are three methods of human hierarchy for incorporating new information. And most companies, most speakers get those hierarchies wrong. They put them completely in reverse. And here's the hierarchy in very simple forms. All of us, no matter who we are, no matter what it says on our business cards, no matter how much money we make, no matter the nature of our job, what it is that we do, every single one of us hears new information, processes new information, and makes snap second decisions and binning concepts into that information based on three levels. Number one, human first. We all hear a new bit of information first based on our own moral code. What makes sense to us? What do we agree with or disagree with? What do we like or not like? These are human basic gut instincts on whether or not we are going to personally respond to something that we hear in a positive or a negative way, or determine whether or not it has value in our lives, personally, professionally, doesn't matter. But we're going to make a decision. And if we don't see the value, it goes into the no value bin. And if we do see the value, it goes into the high value bin, human first. Sure. Number two, consumer. We second here as a consumer. Would I buy this? And when we say buy, it's not always with money. It's with time. Would I invest my personal energy? Would I could be sure. with my kids, or I could be doing this. I could go to a movie, or I could do this. I could look at this thing, or I could look at that thing. So number two, we look at information as consumers. If it makes it past the human level, now would I buy it and invest
that,
it?
That would be more the logical type level on the buy, on, as would I buy it? It's basically, it has to make kind of logical sense at that point, right? Okay.
You're exactly right, right? So it's emotional first, logical second, but the third level is on the employee level. Does it make sense for my company, for my brand? Now, would I actually physically buy it? Would I choose this particular software or hardware over this particular software or hardware? I'm going to move to a new data center. I am going to rebuild my cloud strategy, whatever it happens to be. And we're going to make determinations for the business. And most speakers get out and they talk to the business first, then the consumer, and the human last. They flip it upside down. But the problem is, if you start with the business, it never makes it to the consumer or the human. The information stops dead. It's done. It can't get past it because we haven't processed it on a human level first. So human first, consumer second, employee third. Try not to do that in reverse. And if we do that, we become so much more successful with our storytelling because, going back to your original question, there is no difference between the single individual and me standing on stage in front of an arena full of 20,000 people telling a corporate story, because everybody in that arena is a human before they are an employee of their organization. I'm just speaking to them as friends, colleagues. I don't care what company they work for. I don't care what business they want to partner with. I care right. about them as people. And if I yeah. speak to them as a person first, there's no difference between the personal connection and the corporate connection. They're identical. Corporations are made up of humans.
So just out of curiosity, is there some way you can give us like an example? I know a lot of the stuff that you're doing is pretty confidential, but I assume there's all kinds of cool stuff that you have had experience with in the past where there was a concept an idea that you came up with and you were able to kind of turn that into a fantastic story that was very marketable and turned into a big winner for one of your clients, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So my longest term client, I've been with Cisco longer than I've been with any other. I've been speaking for Cisco for 27 years here at this point, and I help them with a lot of their corporate messaging and strategy. So nobody at Cisco is going to get upset by me mentioning that. I'm out there as a public face for them all the time. Each time I work with a different business unit at a brand like Cisco. So again, you're talking a massive multinational. You're talking somebody on the Fortune list here that's gone through good leadership. I worked with John Chambers for many years before Chuck Robbins came on board. So much of the storytelling is, how do we get back to or maintain or pay honor to the roots of Cisco? So how many times do we talk about this with our clients? Why was your business built in the first place? What problem were you trying to solve? What gap were you trying to fill? And where was the passion that said, we got to build this thing? Because if we do, we are going to help so many people to succeed. We are going to fill that gap in the market and become the thought leader in that particular space. And what happens over time is that people lose that connection. They lose that passion. They get too far from their own founding or from the people who did the founding. That what I can do sometimes is step in the door and say, okay, let's pump the brakes on product. We're trying to sell a certain thing or a certain concept to our market. Let's pull back. What are we actually trying to do for them personally? How do we improve their day-to-day existence and give them a leg up that empowers them, that makes them feel confident, clear in their vision, credible to their bosses, and make them look better to their own leadership? How do we tell that story instead of the product story? So in the case of Cisco, I'll just give you one quick example. Many, many years ago, Cisco had been in a market where they were not a leader, but they were a dominant voice in the market. And then they sold off that entire division and were no longer a part of that market at all. And 2 years later, the CEO gets a call and says, hey, we want you to be the lead keynote at an upcoming event. And he says, okay, great. And they say, okay, but in order to do that, you have to have a You have to be a diamond level sponsor of the organization. You have to have an exhibit at this particular event, and you have to tell a story that connects to the keynote. And he thought, well, we don't have that anymore. There's really nothing to connect in. So he's a future visionary, and we have nothing to say. My client calls me and says, okay, we've got to come up with a story that connects. And so what we did is we backward architected. We said, where is the market today? We no longer build any products that fit that market. But what do? We empower other brands to create products that fit that market. How can we tell that story? And by doing it, we ended up being a star of the show and getting a huge amount of eyeballs and conversation around what we were doing, specifically because we weren't selling anything. We were saying, see all these other people? They are the geniuses who are crafting and creating all of this. What we're doing is supplying the backbone that allows all of them to speak to one another and to work together to create real power. And in this case, it was empowering of healthcare. It was for personal devices.
Right.
At a time when these were just really hitting the market in earnest and starting to explode. And we said, well, what more could this thing do? The phone on our hip, the watch on our wrist, it's starting to have health implications. How can we systemically gather that information on a mass, macro, global basis and tie it all together to create better health outcomes for an entire country and an entire planet? What a great story. So that was how we were able to redirect and take what a corporation would normally do in pitching a product and instead tell a mass personal story that created deeper connection and deeper passion for everybody who was paying attention. And it worked beautifully. And that's what I help people do.
That's fantastic. It's funny because as you're mentioning that, I just did a couple of really big events for Cisco. One of them had like 500 people in the room. And right before I'm going on stage to kind of speak, one of the C-level people for this specific division, it's a brand new division, by the way, that they just created less than 12 months or so ago. And it's already—
Does it start with an O?
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really know, but I remember the C-level person, he's on stage saying, hey, we did something that nobody ever thought could be done. They were on pace to cross over the $1 billion mark for that one department, that one division. And he said, it was funny because one of the things that he said from the stage was that, I'm not sure if he used the word corporate story in there, but he said the backbone of what we do is networking. And this is just an extension of that, right? And so basically he's going back to, you know, what the foundation of how Cisco got started and everything. He was obviously a very eloquent speaker. And since I was coming in kind of cold, I wasn't the main speaker, by the way. This was for one of my team members had done all of the consulting. And so I was basically just kind of in the room helping. And so I learned more probably about our client, our long-term client in that, 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes that he was up on stage speaking than I probably had in the last 4 or 5 years kind of working for him together. And it was all because he kind of went back to the original story that is the backbone of what they do.
You just nailed it. What you just said there, Doug, was so perfect. It's the whole concept of a picture paints 1,000 words, right? You can study and study and study something for months, years, and then one person gets up and in 5 minutes, they create absolute clarity by telling the right story at the right time to the right audience. And you heard the right thing and you thought, well, there it is. That's the vision. I can study this all I want. What I just heard, there's the story. And that story is what creates those three pillars of value, passion, and connection that bring any corporate story or personal story to life, no matter who you're speaking to. So bravo. I think that's so cool.
Fantastic. Okay, good deal. Well, hey, Steve, thanks a lot for being a part of the podcast. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get more information about what you do?
Oh, Doug, thank you so much. This has been loads of fun. We could do this for weeks. All right. I'm so easy to find. SteveMalter.com or CorporateStorytelling.com. Both are going to get you directly to me. And I do have a freebie for anybody who is listening in on your podcast. So if you go to CorporateStorytelling.com/guide and enter the code, all lowercase, Sold Told 23, which is just a takeoff of the title of my my latest book. Nothing gets sold until the story gets told. But put in that code and you're going to be able to download a free e-guide. It's called 5 Paths to Passionate Storytelling. Nice. And it's an instant way to add 5 skills to your current public speaking, no matter what you're doing, who you're doing it for, how many people you speak to, where you're doing that speaking. Add these 5 skills in. Anybody can do it, no matter where you are right now, and it will instantly up-level you to becoming a better winning communicator with whoever your audience happens to be. So go download that.
Fantastic. I'll put the links in the show notes. All right. So thanks a lot for being a part of Fearless Presentation.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.